Well, welcome everybody, and welcome again to the Dog Show Drive, the podcast that gets you down the road while keeping Will and I out of trouble. I'm Wayne Cavanaugh, and with me is the one and only William Alexander. Hey, Will.
Hey, Wayner. How's it going, man?
It's going well. Man.
I was thinking about you this week as I was watching Wayne's World, so I always wanted to say, party on, Wayne.
Well, you know, you stole my best handle. You've got a show called Will's World.
Yeah.
And then when I came along, I couldn't do
Wayne's World. Well, you know. I get to play Dry's first.
I got that. That's right. It's all good. I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that we are very professional. If you've heard this broadcast before, this podcast, you know that we're new at this, and we don't pretend to be good at this yet. We just have fun. So we don't do a lot of practicing. In fact, we don't do any. But before we start rolling, we usually say, hey, you know, should we talk about this for about 3 minutes? It's not a lot of, you know. And what happens often is we'll say, I think we talked about that last week.
So now our sponsor is Ginkgo Biloba. Right?
Now we're looking for sponsors for memory vitamins, if anyone can help us out.
The only problem is I always forget to take them.
That's right. Well, you know, the one of the things is Will and I talk during the week. So I'll always say, did we talk about that on the podcast or do we talk about that on the telephone? So, hey, sometimes if we do repeat one, you know, it's free, right?
Yeah.
You get what you pay for. You're getting twice as much as you pay for this time. So.
It's a rerun.
We promise.
Everybody watches reruns of Seinfeld and whatnot.
That's right. And people net binge on Foxworth or whatever they do. I don't understand any of that stuff. I want
binging?
The binging, the whole net, whatever, and the
Netflix.
Money, fire sticks. Yeah. I watch hockey, the Today Show, and Home and Garden Television. Because
I'm close, and I watch hockey. But I watch the Sports Center first thing in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my news.
Yeah, but your Sports Center is hockey. You don't have all the weird sports.
Well, no, we talk about baseball and we talk about football and soccer, what we call football. Yeah. We talk about all of them. A lot of it, like 85% of it is about hockey.
Of course. And, you know, one of these days, well, and I've been thinking about this a lot and I have faith that
don't
one of these
it.
Days, you're going to get it.
Don't say it. Don't say it.
We're going to feel bad for taking all the silver this side of the board. We're going to have to just come back. It's the right thing to do. It's a world of healing. We're going to get back to you.
You know, right. I don't know if you – do you remember the Bill Barilko story?
I do not.
Well, Bill Barilko was a Maple Leaf, and he had the song go – tragically, Hip wrote a song about him. Bill Barilko disappeared. In 1962, the Leafs won the Cup, and it took them 11 years to win after that. But before that, because – 11 years prior,
1862 or
1951, Bill Barilko scored the winning goal to win the Leafs the Cup. Uh-huh. They didn't win another till 1962, the year he was discovered. Well, what happened was he went on a fishing trip up in northern Canada, northern Ontario, and his plane crashed, and they never found his body for 11 years.
Wow.
And the Leafs had a drought of Stanley Cups for 11 years. And then the year they found his body, they won the cup again. So
wow.
So
have they taken it and hidden it somewhere now for another time? Maybe that would help. Poor Bill, I don't want to.
We've tried everything. It doesn't work, right?
No, it's okay. But this is something I see as a good friend. I want to bring this up. I don't know if anyone's thought of this, but more Canadians have won the Garden in the Stanley Cup.
I don't think so.
well, in the last 40 years, let's say.
Yeah, okay.
Malcolm
all right.
Won,
all right.
Right. Malcolm won it with the sheepdog. Holding the sheepdog.
Yeah.
You? Who else?
That's it.
What about Freddie Petty or whatever his name was?
No, he didn't win it. No. Fred and Herb won the group with their chow one year.
Group chow. Yeah.
And, I think Dick was group two with the Borzoi. We some Canadian dogs have won, like Rocky, Fairwood Frolic, that Pete showed, the North.
Well, that's great.
She was Canadian. Yeah. We've had a few Canadian dogs win it.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah. So it's again, how many cups have you won since 62?
since 67. Leafs won their last cup in 67, but Montreal Canadiens dominated the 70s.
Yeah, who? Anyway, in since the Leafs won the cup, more Canadian dogs and handlers have won Westminster.
And you're right. We should ask Kenny. That's fair.
And you won one of them. I mean, that's pretty good, right?
Well, I was talking to, I think I told you, I interviewed Paul Edwards this week. And my God, it was so much fun. I miss Paul so much. And he told me it's been almost 20 years since he retired. I can't believe that. It seems like there's no way it seems that long ago. And he was one of those guys that when I got the show down in the States, whenever I came down here or down there, I always looked for Paul. And I always brought him beer. And we would drink beer and talk about whatever we talked about. And I had so much fun with him. It was so funny. I have to tell you, we talked for about an hour and a half on this interview. I don't think I used it all, but it was a long interview. And every once in a while he'd say, and I'll never forget this. And then he did. He did it like three times. I'll never forget. Oh, I did. It was so good to hear the stories. But he was telling some great stories about, you know, him and Dougie and Pete and Clay, because Clay followed them around one time trying to keep up with them on the small roads in Pennsylvania. It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Dog, man. I mean, really good eye.
You know, I asked him why he never judged. I said, why didn't Paul Edwards ever want to judge? He said he did want to judge. He said, but after he retired in 2003 or four, I forget what he said. He said, I spent 40 plus years living my life by a schedule, a dog show schedule. And he didn't want to keep doing that as a judge. He didn't want to have me scheduled. I said to him, though, if a poodle club called you up and said, Mr. Edwards, would you judge this specially for us? He said, yes, he would in a heartbeat. Okay. So any poodle clubs out there, I think that's a, you should do that. I think he.
You should.
Yeah, he's.
You don't remember who Paul was? You better go look.
Oh my gosh, he was.
He was great.
He didn't talk about this in the podcast, but he used to spend a lot of time in Japan.
Yeah.
And he was the one he pushed those scissors and whatnot. I think I bought my thinning shears from him, but he spent a lot of time in Japan doing seminars. He tells this story. He didn't tell it this time. He tells this story about these two Japanese girls coming up to him and then having these like stars in their eyes. And Mr. Edwards, we want to come to America and work for a great poodle handler. And Paul said he got all pumped up, his chest pumped up. And they said, Dennis McCoy, do you know him?
Beautiful. Remember back when I worked for the AKC, you know, when you start, I think 9 years old, you wore your suit, you know, and you went to the show and you felt important for some reason. You had your badge, so you thought you were cool. That goes away real quick. But you're standing there like all full of yourself, and someone comes up and you know they're going to ask you a great dog question. The question was always, do you know where the men's room is? Almost every time. Almost every time. It brought you right back to humility, where you needed to be. Need to be there. Humility, damn it, no matter what your badge says. Anyway, what else is new, Will? Well, besides your you're still doing your transport.
Yeah, we're still doing that. Yeah. It's nonstop. I could work every day of the week. I really could. But you know what? I actually get a lot done while I'm driving. No, I don't write things, but I mean like the top 10 list and who I'm going to interview and things like that. And
yeah, sure.
I like that. So it gives me time to do that. And I listen to a lot of audiobooks, but,
listen to the dog show drive, I hope.
Yeah. I have done that. I have a hard time listening to myself talk though.
I only do it so I can try to make sure we don't say it again.
That's true. That's to make notes while we're listening to it.
Yeah.
You know what I did do this week is somebody posted, I think it was Patty Keenan, posted the 98 Westminster Sporting Group. Mm-hmm. Have you watched that in a while? There was some great dogs in there and great handlers, like Corky's in there and Flavio's in there and Kyle's in there. And Kenny won the group with the Gordon. And Pete showed the pointer dog there. He did.
Yeah, that's right. And you were second with your
English setter. I bet you Dallas, you went group two. It was just so much fun watching them and watching the styles of the handlers. You look at, no offense to the new handlers because you know, they're all very good, But they're a little more theatrical than the old time handlers that just went in there and got just went in there and got the job done. Like you watch Kenny, and Kenny, the judge said, take him down the back. He put his dog right in front of Houston Clark and went straight down a straight back. There was no big turn. There was no, there was nothing. It was just like boom, boom. And the dog, he made the dog march right down a straight back. It was perfect. You know, it was, but well, it was just fun watching. Fun watching Corky come back and show his Vizsla. It was just a lot of fun watching the group. It was a lot of fun.
Well, you do notice though, you notice grooming, of course, but that's just, you know, haircuts on humans change too, but it really is that style and that flair. And sometimes, you know, I wrote an article about it a long time ago, dog show or dog show, and where the dog is in uppercase letters and the show is not. And, you know, I think that does become increasingly a factor for winning. And you know, letting your dog run 30 feet in front of you and, you know, was throwing stuff all over the ring and the free stack that I can't stand, and you know, all those things that just put more of the, and I'm not taking anything away from them, except that it runs the risk of forgetting that we're evaluating breeding stock.
Right.
It should always be bottom line.
Well, like when P won the group at the garden, the year she won the group, and that whole day before we showed in Best in Show, Adam and I would keep walking by each other, and he'd say no mistakes, no mistakes, and I'd say no mistakes, no mistakes. Well, that's because George and Janie yelled at me after the group. They both gave me hell for going too fast and blah blah blah. But it's true. It's the less you do out there, the better your chances are of not making a mistake.
Right.
You know, and in my classes, I always teach people that. I try to teach them that don't do all these things, because by the time you've done the big twirl and up, your dog isn't moving properly until he reaches halfway down the mat. So it's
right. And when you have a ring that's 30 feet long and a big dog, and you're doing the big twirl, and you get 10 feet to walk straight, right. You know, you have to pick your poison. That was at a show not too long ago, and it was a sporting dog breed, and it was a small ring with a lot of dogs. And this guy did the thing where the dog had to go 20 feet in front of him. It looked ridiculous.
Yeah,
I mean, it couldn't have looked any sillier. If you want to do that in a big group and it makes you happy, I guess, but you know, you gotta remember, it's the judge doesn't want to look like a fool, and and you feel like a fool if you think that you can only find their dog if they turn it into a, you know, figure skating and sequins contest. You know, I'll be able to find your dog without.
Exactly. Can you imagine doing that kind of theatrics in front of like someone like Melbourne? He'd be like, what are you doing?
You get a little patty.
Little dashes. You'd be getting cross marks instead of dashes.
Like, new column. For those of you who don't remember, Melbourne used to have one of their greatest judges of all time. And it's just a super guy too. He had a little piece of paper, a little book he used to carry, and each dog would get pluses and minuses, and no one would he would never really show anybody, but
but
it was pluses and minuses and categories that he thought was important.
I think if you were wasting his time doing all these things, that he'd start to doodle probably.
Yeah, he probably was. You know, after a few steps, I don't know, write a note to my wife about it.
People forget that it's human nature. And especially in a show like the garden or Orlando, where your group is timed.
Yeah.
These judges are going to get annoyed with you if you take too much of their time up while they're trying to evaluate your dog. So I find it hard to watch sometimes. That's all.
Yeah. If I want them to do a big theatrical free stack, I'll ask them later. And I'll just, a couple weeks ago, when they came back, I didn't give them a second. Just go. I'll find your dog later. And that I think I did mention last week. So there you go. Once again, Ginkgo Balboa. Rocky Balboa.
Brought to you by Ginkgo Balboa.
terrible. Anyway, I was thinking of you, Will, because, you know, we were talking about one of our great trips to Ireland last week, I think, on the podcast. And that as soon as we ended the podcast, it reminded me of my first trip over there, and it came full circle. So bear with me for a second, but I've been fortunate to judge the St. Patrick show in Ireland quite a few times. But the first time I did it, was at the RDS, the Royal Dublin Society. It was also the last year it was held there. The RDS was in great disrepair at the time. But most important, the Irish Kennel Club had just built this tremendous facility for their shows at the airport. It's beautiful. And now it's called the National Show Center, and there's car shows and flower shows, and it's a great spot. Anyway, so the RDS being under repair, the main hall was not all in use, and you got some interesting places to put your ring. My ring was in a gorgeous, grand, tall ceiling, beautiful curved glass, just a gorgeous old building, but it was a little leaky, and it was really long and narrow. Now, when I say long and narrow, plus it was packed. The St. Patrick Show, just to go back for some history, St. Patrick's Day is a religious holiday in Ireland, as it should be everywhere. And you couldn't, the pubs weren't open, so you couldn't get a pint during the parade or anywhere along that time. You know, you couldn't sneak into a pub, but you could do it at a sporting event. And the sporting event was a dog show. So the parade would stop, and the party participants would come into the dog show to get their pint. And there's great stories about the Lord Mayor turning around going, what are all these dogs doing here at my pub? You know, it became quite a party. So it was a big night at the RDS when I was there, a big day. So we had a lot of revelers, a lot of locals. The spirit was so high. It was great. But I've got a 10-foot by 3,000-foot wide ring. So all I could do was take him down and back. And then I decided I couldn't see side gate. I couldn't put him in a circle of any kind. So I just asked the people to just give me a little space, and I cleared a spot, and I'd jump out of the ring, and I'd stand out with the spectators who were always, you know, standing around, and I'd watch the dogs go. I'd sit down to back again. And I watched the side. And I'd jump back over. And we did that all day. On top of that, we had the little leaks. And on top of that, I was giving for the first time green stars, which are the Irish equivalent to CCs and FCI, CICIBs. Those are like majors for, you know, but way bigger than majors for American listeners. And that was new to me. It's the first time I had done it. I'd done it many times since. On top of that, you've got, you can enter in as many classes as you want. Now, I don't know if Americans know this, but you can do that at the AKC. If your dog qualifies for several classes, you can show them in several. It's never done except by a novice by mistake, so we never hear about it here. But there are chances for you to enter.
But if you get defeated in one,
you're done.
You can't go back. Yeah.
Right. And you also, if you win, you can't not go in the next class. You have to follow through. Anyway, so it doesn't happen often, but everybody pulls out the reason. It happens there all the time. In England and Ireland and a lot of other places. And the catch is, I had 212 Irish setters that day. By the way, Irish setters in Dublin on St. Patrick's Day was heaven, right? So I'm now dealing with dogs that entered multiple classes. I've got to worry, did I already beat that one to this one? Because I don't want to switch it the next time, right? Yeah, that's on your mind. And they will switch handlers just to get you going.
Just to mess with you.
it's fun, you know, get the yank, I get it. And so there's all that going on. That's funny ring, jumping in and out, all the new awards, all the new classes I never heard of, a big entry, and everything could go wrong, except it didn't, because I had a steward from heaven. He took care of everything. And I mean everything. And he did it with the subtlety. It was beautiful. But the main thing is he marked the judge's book. And wasn't that wonderful, right? And we talked about that. We talked about that with you. You said in Australia.
Yeah.
Anything we talked about last week. So that reminded me, fast forward to a couple weekends ago, where I judged 64 entries in the regular classes, but I also did National Owner Handler Series and Puppies. So I just counted them because I just wrote an article about it for Canine Chronicle, which you should read. And it's a lot of paper. It's 54 pieces of mimeograph paper.
Mimeographed.
64 entries. Now,
you better explain what mimeograph are to ladies and younger viewers. They might not know what they are.
I don't know where the AKC buys it. There's got to be an antique outlet somewhere that sells this stuff. It's actually carbonless mimeograph paper. There used to be a yellow sheet, a pink sheet, and a white sheet with blue paper, carbon paper in between, and you press real hard. Now they've made the paper so that it has the carbonless stuff built in it. You gotta press real hard. So when you're the judge, you get the pink sheet back. If you haven't pressed really hard, you'll never know what you did. You just gotta get through all that. Now, the weird part about that is that, I don't know, it's 2021. You know, we do the webinars, the AKC judges tests, everything, board meetings, AKC board meetings, everything. The AKC is really good at technology. They've got all these, this education base they have there, the resource centers. It's extraordinary. It's really good. They know about that stuff. So why are we carving the results into a stone with a chisel? You know, what are we doing? It just seems outrageous to me, because when I'm done with all this, someone has got to try to read my handwriting.
Exactly.
Sevens and nines, you know, all those numbers are confusing in handwriting, and transcribe them onto a computer. I could have done that for them. If my judge's book was a device, an iPad, something
like that. Like an iPad, yeah.
Yeah. So on the armband, you put a barcode. The steward just scans the armbands as they come in, shows up in my iPad. I got it right there. I can carry that out to give out the ribbons. I can't carry out a judge's book with all folded things and three copies that's going to fall apart and get wet. And right. If the flap falls out, you're going to write through to all the awards with one breed. But you could carry out. And then all you got to do is the number, she scanned them in. So they show up on your iPad. You just have to tap 1, 2, 3, 4, done. And it goes
legible.
Right. yeah. You know, it's electronically trapped right there. It becomes data and you can be used for titles. It can be used for anything. But what do I know, Will? I'm an old guy who likes old technology for some things, not for this.
Yeah, I was always under the fascination that technology peaked with frozen pizza, as far as I'm concerned. But I agree with you on this, because I did a lot of those sheets last year, and I have a binder full of these sheets, because we do the same thing at home here in Canada with a mimeograph. And I can't. I have to go back and look to see what I did. I have to try to match it up in the catalog. Oh, yeah, that's that dog. And then rewrite it so I know what it is.
Yeah. Well, the only place you can find this paper, I think, is at the diner where they have the checkbooks, where they, you know, put the one for the short order, cook goes up.
Yeah, on
the
Mel's thing. Diner, yeah. One up. Yeah.
They're keeping somebody in business, I guess. But yeah, think about that. There's got to be, and I'm sure there's some people up there. And probably the only reason it hasn't been done, because no one's ever said, hey, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Because if you do it all your life, you never stop to think, why are we doing this? You know?
Something to get used to, and I guess they just haven't thought about changing it. But, right. But that's a val. I think I like the idea of the iPad. I think that really works out well.
Or some kind of contrivance.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not the tech guy. Some tech guy can figure out how to do that. But to write it and then type it seems silly. Another turn for error. And there's got to be some better way. Anyway, on the technology thought, Will, and because, you know, again, I'm a frozen pizza technology guy. I was getting embarrassing folks, because I have a rotary dial cell phone with a car battery that I need to bring in the restaurant with the whole, but my phone's old. So today.
You have a shoulder strap for it.
I had a shoulder strap in the back. So I got today a new iPhone, and I got to get the biggest one, the best one. Well, I didn't know how big it was. The 12 Pro Max or something. I don't know what it does.
Is it like a tablet?
Yeah. All I know is I have to take all my pants to the tailor and get the pockets widened.
Oh, geez.
So that I can get it in there. And but it's supposed to take pretty pictures. So I'm going to send this to Lori Crandallmeyer. Lori, you know, we love you, but we want pictures of our beagles. So we're going to get you a nice big phone or camera. You can take pictures. We can see those. Are you listening, Lori?
Better yet, Lori, I'm going to fly out there, I think, and spend a couple days and do a Lori Crandallmeyer documentary so we can see what's out there.
let us tell you both that Lori Crandallmeyer is not only Miss P's breeder, but she's one of the nicest people you'll ever meet in your life. A true, true, honest, loyal person. And we love her dearly, but she's not good at sending pictures. So I hope we've properly embarrassed her in front of our millions of listeners from all over.
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, how to do that. Anyway, so, you know, when I wouldn't have thought of that whole Judges book thing, unless I flashed back to Ireland when the steward did it for me. And that would have never happened unless we were talking about going to Ireland last week. So like Garrison Keillor, we get back to the story.
Rolls around, yeah.
We eventually get back there, Will.
That's why you got to stay tuned every week so you keep up with the story. It's like an old serial movie.
That's right, soap opera. Yeah, soap opera.
You know what still happened last week? Oh, I don't know.
That's right. Now, one other thing I want to make note of is the first two episodes, I sounded great. It was smooth, silver, velvet fog, I think I was. Because my microphone.
I sounded like I was talking to a Campbell's soup can.
Exactly. Will sounded like he made the microphone out of crepe paper and a beer can or something.
And the string didn't stay tight. Tight that string.
Exactly. But this week, my good microphone failed, and Will has got his good microphone back. So just for the yin and yang of being brothers and taking turns, he'll sound great this week, and I'll sound like Kermit the Frog. So there you have
Kermit
it.
Kermit the Frog here.
Very good. Hey, it's very good.
Yeah, I can sing too.
Speaking of Kermit the Frogs, we were talking about assistants earlier, and I thought maybe that's some road you want to go down for a little bit, because they couldn't be any more important to the sport, first of all.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But it's changed. Want to talk about a little about that, Will?
Well, I had a thought about it because I did my top 10 list this week, and part of it was tricks of the trade. I mentioned how having capable assistants is crucial.
Yeah.
And you're only as good as the team that you have with you. And I was always felt that way with my team. I always had assistants that I thought were, you know, better than me. And it just helped out, you know. I don't know what you're saying to me. Sounds like two syllables. All right. Anyway. But it seemed it was easier to get assistance back in those days. It seems like it's harder to get assistants that want to do that kind of work now. Now I'm not saying there aren't out there, because there definitely are assistants out there that will take a bullet for their team.
Yep.
But there's excellent. There's excellent assistants out there, but it doesn't seem like they're as plentiful as they were. Like I used to make fun of my assistants. I would pit against somebody else's. I'll put my girls against your girls and we'll see who wins. And it mm-hmm. was just fun. But that's how it was. We had these teams of assistants, and they all each had their own strengths, and it just seemed different. When it seemed like it was more, there was more interest in being that assistant back then.
Yeah. You know, I have a friend who moved here from Germany right out of undergraduate school, and lives in Chicago. He's a really good guy. And he was telling me that to be an apprentice in metalwork, where he was going to be an engineer, and he is an engineer, they gave him a cube of metal and told him to make it perfectly square. And they meant it. And the precision was unbelievable. And he worked as an apprentice in that area for a very long time. And a friend of his came over after, and he's a carpenter, and he couldn't believe we use caulk here. You know, the deal is you make your joints so tight, you'd never need caulk.
Right, yeah.
And they apprenticed for so long to learn those crafts. That's an old world kind of thing. I'm not sure that we're even, and I don't mean this negatively. I just don't know if a young person today can look at the world like we did 50 years ago, 60 years ago, and see that, you know, the world's going by them so fast.
Oh, everybody's getting so much to do for them.
Like this. Their friends are getting things just like this. Yeah. And I don't blame them. It's hard to find someone who will sit there and say, okay, I'm only 18, but I think I want to do this. So what do I lay 5 years down trying, and then I don't want to do it? It's a hard call.
It really is. And there's so many choices now. It's
yeah.
and different avenues to take, and distractions like the iPhones, just everything. It's just, the world is so much busier now that the focus is gone sometimes because it doesn't last very long.
Yeah, just the stuff I had. I'm retired. I don't think going on. I was so stressed today because all the little things I had to do, including activate these cell phones. But you know, it's tough for them, and I understand that. I think we're seeing the ones that stick are often ones who have parents in the sport.
Yes,
so they know the routine. They know how hard it is, but they love the sport and they're in for the long haul. You know, you see quite a few of those coming up that are doing well, but there's also the ones that just found this early and know they want to do it. And that's gold. That's wonderful to find. These kids.
I love finding those people, you know, it's,
and as long as they don't think they've got to show the best in show winner the right. second year they work for you.
Right. But it's amazing how some people just have that natural ability. Like one time I had this an assistant, and she came, the way I met her is she came to a dog show with a second generation person that was already an assistant, and they were so naturally talented. They picked it up so fast, and they became such very good handlers, and the attention to detail was there. It was just fun to watch that happen. You know, it's,
you know, some of the greats are the guys and women that you know, have just, they have that dedication from the day they're born, it seems. And they just love the sport. Some come into it later, of course.
Yeah.
But you know, Peter Green was always the first one there at the shows in the morning and the last one to leave, walking his dog, giving him a little extra water. You know, a lot of those handlers didn't win just because they were famous. You know, they won because they worked hard, and they apprenticed under much more tough conditions than we did.
Oh, for sure. I always told them, I said, they weren't famous when they started. You know, they didn't just all of a sudden come to dog show and they were Peter Green.
That's, well, you were, Will.
He had to become Peter Green. Like, he had to prove himself. Yeah. And then that's...
Yeah. You had to maintain it too.
Right.
Couldn't just, you know, all of a sudden think you were too cool for the world. He never stops learning.
No.
You know, there's people in the sport that, you know, they earn your respect by their hard work and dedication. So it's tough. And also today, you know, when I was working for the Forsythes, we went to shows on Friday and Saturday and Sunday, usually just Saturday and Sunday. The occasional circuit, we go on the fly circuit, you know, we do not many.
Yeah.
Now every weekend's a circuit.
Basically, yeah, it's a cluster, so you're on the road all 5 days. Yeah.
Yeah, you're on the road all the time. And, you know, and some kids, if they live near a handler, they can live with their folks and still go to school and do all those things, have a teenager life, and then work on the weekends until they really want to get into it full time. But it's tough to do that now when they're 250 shows a year.
Right.
Yep. You know, 300 shows a year.
Oh, yeah. It's just, I still maintain there's too many dog shows, at least up here. Well, not at the moment, obviously, but I mean, as sometimes, some weekends, we had three different directions we could go in Canada, in Ontario. Like, right. That waters everything down up here for sure.
There's no doubt. And I thought we'd learn it. You know, I thought that during COVID, we saw those shows in Florida where 4,000 dogs were entered and 3,000 dogs were entered because there weren't many shows. And all of a sudden, you know, shows aren't even back to the, you know, maybe a quarter of what they were. And there's, now we're seeing 700 dog shows again.
Yeah.
And it hasn't even, you know, we're not even in full swing. So unfortunately, I think we'll forget that lesson quickly and we'll be back to where we were. But that's something that has to be done at the top. Clubs aren't going to just give up their shows.
Oh, exactly. Exactly.
Got to be a system set in place. And that's an unpopular call to make if you're working somewhere where you need to get elected every year.
It's just going to make everything stronger, though. I mean, and competition makes everybody stronger. Like, running away from it doesn't. And like, I had a conversation with a young handler last fall, and they were saying that they couldn't wait for it to get back to normal again, where they could place higher in the group because the other dogs wouldn't be there. Well, you know, that's
not the point.
Not the way to look at it. You know, you need to. I think in when I growing up here in Canada, we had phases where certain breeds were so strong. I remember in the 70s and early 80s, Shih Tzus were unbelievable up here. Mm-hmm. Well, that's because we had Marilyn Corbett, Linda Torrance, Luke Eric, Wendy and Richard Paquette. They were all competing in the same shows. They had to get good to to compete with each other. It was
any
Shih Tzu that won the breed was winning the group or best in show. That's how good they were. But they got better because they had to get better. They had those,
Those dogs and those kennels are still rocking and still winning a lot of them.
Oh yeah, everywhere. For sure.
I heard the same thing where, you know, boy, I can't wait till these shows die down because we just can't win as much as we did. But how about when you did win one, it meant that much more?
Oh, exactly. Yes. You
know? Oh, you set some new record, did you? What was the average entry where you went? Oh, 321. Well, I don't want to hear that. Well,
that's funny because I had a dog I was showing a few years back, and the dog held the record for the breed for best in shows. And this other dog was getting close to them, and they contacted and asked if they could put an ad in with the two dogs side by side.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? You can do that if you want, as long as you put the dates. You show that my dogs were shown 14 months and your dog's been shown for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, know? Exactly.
they didn't do that.
They did not do that. Yeah, chasing records is a funny thing. The funny part about chasing the record books is that no one remembers any.
No. It's
Who was the number one sporting dog 3 years ago? No idea, exactly. Right? Yeah.
Who won the Stanley Cup 3 years ago? No, I'm just kidding.
That's right. That's not the Maple Leafs. Well, I got my St. Louis Blues shirt on again. Well,
this is getting monotonous and tedious here.
Yeah, but you have a good – you're building here. You're going to look – the team's going to win the – no. I saw a post you put on Facebook. I thought something in the world happened. I thought there was some sort of apocalyptic event that I missed. What did it say? It was just a couple words.
It said no words.
No words. What's happened to poor Will? It was just a hockey team.
It's not just hockey team, Wayne.
One game.
It's life up here.
Are they in first place, Will?
Yes, we are. First place.
So no words? Uh-huh. Yeah, I understand. You're just talking about the kids that are whining because they can't place enough groups. You're in first place and you're whining.
But we've been doing this for since 67.
it's true.
And my good buddy Zach is out now. Zach got kneed the other day and a knee on knee. So he's out for 2 weeks, Zach Hyman.
Yeah.
I showed his dad's dogs, holding those sheep dogs.
Really?
Yeah. Cool. What a great guy he is. And
you've got some of the best players in the league, though, including Austin Matthews, right?
Oh my God! Yeah, where's he's unbelievable. From? He's from Arizona.
Arizona. I was wondering where he's from. Well,
yeah.
That would be in America, right? Phoenix. I can't believe you bought that.
I was taking it. I knew exactly what you're doing, and it's just part of, you know. Okay. Have you ever seen Wayne's World, where he throws the fishing pole and pulls you
that's
in?
Right.
You
know? Really.
I was just going along with it, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was looking at show results recently, and I'm thrilled that some of the breeds that won best in shows the last couple of weeks. It doesn't just happen. Holly Eldred had a best with a Mastiff, and I've seen, you know, there's some Skipper Key has been doing well, but there's a bunch of breeds that don't typically win, and it's nice to see.
Oh, for sure,
it's nice to see. It takes some courage to do that.
But you look at, like, I watch a lot of these groups online, and the depth in some of those groups, Wayne. Oh my gosh, you know.
Serious.
It's just the quality is just so good to see, especially those big shows when they get the 3,000 to 4,000 dog shows. You could almost, in that group after the cut's made, you could almost point in any direction and never be wrong.
No, we're talking about, you know, certain breeds certainly win more best in shows than others. Is it showmanship? Yeah. Is it because the quality is that good? I can tell you that when, you know, breeds like, you know, Mastiffs or Bassets or breeds like that nail the, you know, win a best show, it's not because they nailed the free stack. And if they did, they shouldn't have won anyway, because they shouldn't do that, you know. Yeah. So that's what's nice to see. And some Pumies winning here and there. But there's a real association between some popular breeds that can't win. And our buddy Ken Murray, just he's interested in Labradors these days and looking at some pups. And we were texting back and forth, and I said, you know, Kenyon, I love him too. But, you know, I thought you wanted something you could win with. And it felt bad to say it because it's true. You know,
I'm not consistent. We could always call Kenny and find out, you know,
give him a shout. What time is it? It's early in his world. Is it hour or
let's see. Call Kenny. Work.
Don't cuss, Ken. Don't. Oh, you can cuss. We're not FCC.
Exactly. Ready. He can do what he can do what he wants. Let's see if he answers. I better move.
Hi, Will.
Hey, Kenny. How are you, man?
Pretty good.
Yeah, I'm here with Wayne. Can you hear Wayne? Say hi to Wayne.
Hey, Ken.
Hey, Wayne.
How you doing, bud? Hey, you're on the Dog Show Drive. You're on our podcast.
You're on our podcast.
Oh, okay.
We're only saying that so you don't say the stuff you normally say.
Yeah. We don't want to have to edit too much, Kenny.
We're talking about your interest in Labradors and how I had said to you, you know, it's tough to win with those and what a shame that is. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think you can, if you get a good enough one, you can win?
Changed the breed so much over the since the days of when labs could win groups and best in shows. I don't know. I think if you can get one that's balanced properly and shows and moves and good type, yeah, why not?
I hope so.
That's what I'd like to. I'd like to get my hands on one good enough to win groups and best in shows.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, didn't Dick did a lot of winning with labs, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was top sporting dog 1 year with a lab.
Shamrock Acres Light Brigade.
Yeah, Lamont Light Brigade was the top winning Labrador of all time for quite a few years. I think he had 13 best in shows, but he won them all in one calendar year. The dog that beat his record, you know, and I think he got a couple more best in shows over a 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. It's funny that you brought that up like that. That's good.
Ken can't miss. He knows every dog show record and every dog's name. It's just crazy.
We were worried about our ratings, so we thought we would call Kenny.
Yeah, call Ken. See if we can get the ratings up a little bit. Now, Ken, we were talking about English setters. We're talking about the group at the Garden where you won the group with Kirby and Will was behind you with the English setter.
Yeah, do you remember that year? It was actually Patty Keenan just posted that group the other day, so I watched it again. And that was an amazing group.
I did too. I just watched it.
It was an amazing group. The dogs in that group, there were some good dogs in that group. Jeez.
Yeah, all right. But take a look at that Labrador. I mean, you know, it had a funny top line. Might have been good Labrador type, and you know, I had a good head, coat, and tail.
Yeah,
that's about where it ended.
And you know, this is going to be the least popular thing anyone could ever say because I love Labradors.
Oh, I love Labradors. I have a Labrador house dog. I had a dog from Lisa with my house dog.
And I would like to think, and I've known Lisa forever. And you know, those are the kind of dogs that fill me. I love Potomac. I love that going there and seeing good Labrador type. But really, can't you take just a couple of pounds off?
Yeah, you know, I don't know.
I don't mean 10 or 5.
I know. They don't look very athletic anymore.
It makes them look less athletic in the group ring. And you know they're built for it because you get your hands on them and you know they're proper type and they're made right. But it just seems to be a trend. And it's no different than putting too much hair on an Irish setter or putting too much turn stifle on some breeds. It's no different than that. It just seems to be a trend that's creeping up a little bit. I don't know.
Either one of you ever seen the one Jack Funk did all the winning with, Hillsboro Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, Wizard of Oz.
I'm sure I wasn't born yet, guys.
Whippersnapper.
he did a lot of winning. Annie Clark loved him, I remember. She gave a lot of groups.
Yeah.
He was a son of Light Brigade, out of an English bitch.
Right, which gave him a little more type than Light Brigade was beautiful, but he kind of showed him like a pointer, right?
Yeah. Well, we showed them all like that in those days.
So yeah, yeah, they were shown that way.
Connie Barton that changed the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I even when I was a kid, even Goldens were showing like that, you know, head and tail up.
Sure.
Now they're showing like Dobermans. So
sure. Yeah, Connie Barton had all those great Dandelions dogs from England. Who was the Sandylands lady, Ken? I can't think of her name.
Yeah, I can't either. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, no. You stumped Ken Murray.
But it wasn't a record, and it wasn't a Saturday.
No one ever. I can't believe you stumped Ken Murray.
Yeah, but that wasn't even fair. Now, how many Best in Shows did Fever have? You're in Los Setter.
Oh, hang on. He got it. Say it again.
Peggy
Grayson? Nope. Gwen Broadley.
You were setting him up.
No, I wasn't. It just came to me. Now, who was Peggy Grayson? Now we got to figure this out. We have to find someone older than us.
See Dick Grayson's sister on Batman?
I think she was Mrs. Grayson's daughter. I'm almost certain. Anyway, Ken, how many Best in Shows did Fever, your English setter, have?
What'd you say?
How many Best in Shows did you have on Fever, your English setter?
40.
That had to hold up for a while, right?
Yeah, I think it will.
Yeah. She was beautiful. I remember giving her.
She had 39.
Oh, wow.
Wow, it was close.
Yeah.
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 And the first one to congratulate me when I won 40 was Bruce Schultz.
Oh, good.
Oh, class guy. Wait, they don't make him like Bruce.
He should be, right?
Yeah. Great guy. And his bitch was Silk Teddy, right? Craig Sparks?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
He was a character. That was a character.
I showed a dog for Craig Sparks several years after that and had 7 or 8 Best in Shows on him.
Oh.
The dog, his call name was Travis. I can't remember his registered name.
Oh, about that Craig was a character. Whenever he told stories, he was a character.
Was he ever?
He wrote a book. Wayne, you've never seen the book he wrote.
No, I haven't.
No, I don't think so. No.
I
just remember him telling the Guys and Dolls story at we were at a bar one night at the English International. He was telling the Guys and Dolls story, and I remember him starting out. It was Neil was in his garden, and all of a sudden God spoke to me. Said Neil, and Neil went down and kneeled. He said, "No, Neil, I'm talking to you. I want you to read English centers like this."
Oh, he was funny. We were Cheryl and I were living in Atlanta for a short period of time.
You've heard that story? It was a great story. I laughed my head off.
He can tell him too.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
He sure was.
You sure everything's good, Kenny? You've been good?
Yeah, it's been real good.
Good. Well, you've been busy and been judging a lot, or what's been going on?
I just had 2 weekends off, and I leave this week for 3 shows in Ohio, and then the next week for 4 shows out east somewhere.
Oh, you got some great judges on that panel too, in Delaware, where you're heading.
Wayne and I are together.
I think that Wayne Kavanaugh.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Oh, jeez. At least you'll remember all the dogs' names.
That's right. We won't be able to find our keys. We'll know all the dogs.
Exactly.
Pedigrees.
With Dog Show Trivial Pursuit, you guys are going to win. You don't know where you parked your car, but.
Yeah. We got that part. Hey, Ken, tell us about your shows coming up. One of the things I certainly want to ask you about, this is a big weekend you've got coming up in Grays Lake, right? In June?
Yeah, the 9th to the 20th, 9 Albright shows, and then a day of specialties and group shows.
Wow. And seminars all 9 or 10 days, right?
Yeah. Right. I think there's about 30 of them.
Yeah. So you're not going to be able to find a place where you can get that many good seminars, that many shows, and that many good people. And when I'm telling you, these guys can run a show. I hope you do music again this year, because I really enjoyed that in the past.
Yeah. Well, everything's going to be, as of right now, everything's going to be outside. But they can play the music outside too. So.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
And the way it works, if you go Best in Show, you get to pick the genre.
Things might loosen up.
Yeah, I hope so.
Hard to tell.
Isn't it the way it works, Ken? If whoever goes Best in Show the first day gets to pick the kind of music for the next day?
Yeah, right. That's what we did in the previous years. Yeah.
So judges, you want to interview your exhibitors and see what kind of music they like. Because if it's something you hate, if you're leaving, you don't care, right? But
when is that show again?
June the 9th to the 20th.
Oh, good. Wow. When is the garden? When's what dates the garden?
Week before, right?
The garden is the first couple days at the same time.
Okay.
First 2 or 3 days.
Oh. Yeah. So I guess they won't see you at the garden then.
There wasn't anything we could do about it.
No.
It came at the same time. So.
Yeah, but you've got 9 days of show, right?
Everybody won't be at the garden.
True.
That's for sure. That's for sure. Yeah, I'm kind of thinking about, I've got an England Center specialty the day after the garden, but I'm not even going to, I don't know if I'm going to have the time to get down there. And if I do, what I can do when I'm there, if I can even get in.
You can be my assistant.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You're showing your baby.
I got my beagle entered there. Yes, I can be my assistant. So.
Well, I know I'm rolling right there to Ken. it's going to be you got great panels out there too, Ken, for all those shows and a lot of good specialties.
Yeah, I think so.
It should do well. Yeah. And Scott File, you know, one of the greatest guys in the sport. I know he really helps put on a great event, too. So it's a good team. You've got a great team out there.
He and partner Jamie have put a tremendous amount of work into the whole week already.
Yep. And Scott, and, you know, you got a good crew of people who know what they're doing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. That should be fun.
Well, thanks for joining us, Ken. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
It was good talking to you. I'm glad we didn't catch you off guard and you said something, you know, you didn't want to say to us.
Yeah. Hey, good luck with those pups, Ken. Let me know how you work out.
Yeah, if you worked out lab, let us know.
All right.
All right.
See you guys. Take care,
bud.
Yeah, Kenny.
See you. All right,
bye.
That's one of the most underestimated dog brains in the world.
Memory
and his recall, it never sense to me. But really, this is a great bunch of shows they put together, and you've got that many shows together. Seminars are, we talked about this, I've been getting a lot of mail in my last Chronicle article about the policy we had talked about, you and I, Will, about you know, what do we do about those people who don't want to, who aren't good at test taking or whatever, and gathering those points. It's a great opportunity to go to one place and get a lot of seminars and see a lot of good dogs. By the way, you might not get a lot of points for seeing a whole lot of good dogs, but if you want to be a good judge, you need to go where they are.
Oh, exactly. And you have to imprint that in your bank, in your head.
Absolutely.
I think in mind's eye, like I always pulling up dogs to keep my head straight about certain breeds, not entire dogs, just pieces of like it's,
yep.
It's invaluable. Oh, well, it was good talking to Ken. I'm glad he answered and wasn't.
Yeah, he's one of the best.
For sure. For sure.
And he's now doing the toy group, too. I think he's provisional for toy groups this next weekend. So
I remember when he first started judging, he told me how much he missed showing the dogs.
Yeah.
But he seemed to have picked it up now. He seems to really enjoy it. You can be watching the judge and he seems to really enjoy.
He judges so much.
Yeah. Well, he's a popular guy, you know.
Yeah.
Always been popular.
Yeah.
Did a lot for the sport.
Yep, sure did. And he's a little older than us too. So there are people out there. Not much, but there are people. Will and I are the same age. A lot of people don't know that, but Will and I are the same age.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I look a little younger than him, but don't let that confuse you.
Especially on this podcast.
You know? On the podcast.
He has a better makeup crew than I do. So.
If you ever saw, someday we should videotape this podcast because I've never looked worse than I do right now. The lighting, I haven't shaved. I got an old sweatshirt on, you know. Come video time for our Zoom broadcast. Then, you know, I got the trophy behind me. I got, you know, the winkies. I got the lighting, all the whole thing. But nice thing about podcasts is you just don't care.
Are you mocking me because I have my stuff behind me?
Just a little bit, Will. Just a little bit.
This is where I see it. This is my desk. It's just
Yeah, right. This is a podcast, ladies and gentlemen. And Will is set up like he's broadcasting live from the Grammys. He's got his winky. I think he only has one. I have two. Just saying. And then there's a setter statue and some chrome and some gold leafing and things.
You see
like
that setter statue? That's a Damra. That's marquee.
Man, she's amazing.
She is amazing.
I love her work. I really do. We've got some great artists in the sport. And it's not a surprise, is it? I mean, you would think a lot of dog people have that artistic eye.
Well, they do. And it's not just we have great painters, we have great sculptors. You've seen that fan you Oh, he's unbelievable. He's amazing. Oh, what a great
the Havanese that he did at the Dog Museum. Bono. Oh, it'll give you goosebumps.
Maybe we should get him to do Miss P, Wayne.
That's not a bad idea. That's some gay. Are you out there, Gay Glassbrook? Could you talk to Fan you about him? I think it's a great idea. Actually, if you could make a real one for us that actually can come to life, that would be even better because we could use another good beagle out there to show him what it's all about.
Well, I'm going to fly out and do the documentary, hopefully find something out there.
Yeah, before. You Crown never, of Mount never know. Yeah. Crown of Mount Chronicles. Chronicles. All right, we've had enough. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again. And seriously, we enjoyed doing these, but the comments have made it even more better. Your emails, your Facebook messages and all. It's really appreciated because, you know, it's something we don't have to do. And as you know, it's not monetized. We don't make a penny, but we enjoy doing it. And we really appreciate your comments.
I'm not making anything for doing this.
Not tonight, Will. Not tonight. Last week, couple bucks. This week,
no. When I first started Show on Dogs, I my first wife Allison, she always said that I think I would do it for cigarettes and hockey tickets. So if we're gonna do any negotiation, I think you better do the negotiations, Wayne.
Yeah, this is like the Field of Dreams, build it and they will come. And we have been getting calls from sponsors, so don't feel sorry for us. But so far, we're flying on borrowed fumes. Anyway. I hope you enjoyed the 60 miles, whatever it is. If Janie was driving, it would have been 120 miles. Exactly. That's how fast she goes. Will, anything for the thoughts for the week you want to send? Oh, we forgot one. I want to talk about Arlie. You did.
Oh, yes. Another sad one. This we lost another member of our family this week, Arlie Husson. He passed away this week. But he was in his 90th year, though, I believe. Yeah. I believe Arlie was up there. But what a character. You know, I really enjoyed seeing him at dog shows. He was fun, and he never let you know what he was thinking. And I enjoyed showing Arlie. I really did. You know. Sometimes he threw a curb at you, but it was a lot of fun.
Characters. We had characters.
Love those characters. Fun. Yep.
And you could jump outside the ring and watch him get for set gate from the side. You know, you could do, and you still can in Ireland. You know, there's a lot of places that'll let you be you. We have a little more, you know, pattern to our world today, not just at dog shows, but in general in America. But we miss those characters. We do have characters. Oh, we have not Doug Holloway. You don't need any more characters. We've got Bobby Fischer. We don't need any more characters.
Next week, let's call Dougie and find out what he's up to.
Oh, boy. That could be fun. That could be fun. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, guys.
Thanks again.
Will. Party on, Wayne.
Yes, absolutely. I don't even know. What did they say at the end of that show?
Party on, Wayne. Party on, Garth.
Yeah, party on, Garth. There you go.
World,
okay,
Wayne's
Garth.
World. Party time.
Wayne's World. Wayne's World. Take care, ladies and gentlemen. Drive safe and don't do anything stupid. That's See right. you next week.
Stay safe, guys.
Stay safe.
Garth.